When we find ourselves in the middle of dark circumstances, it can sometimes be difficult to hold on to hope. Life can be messy. That was a good place to say an amen. Life can be messy, and the circumstances that we find ourselves can be challenging. So the word today for God's people is that God will deliver us. Now, deliverance doesn't always look like we want it to look, doesn't always come the way we think it should. But as I reflected over this message this week, the Spirit of God pressed upon my heart and echoed these words: God will deliver us. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean we won't go through something. And it doesn't mean that the road won't be rough. In fact, as we look at God's people in the southern kingdom and we pay attention to how God worked in them and through them and for them, we begin to recognize how God moves and works in the lives of his people, and it will serve as a faith builder for us in our times of trouble. The incident that I'm speaking of is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 23. It's in Jeremiah chapter 23 that we discover the move of God and how God delivers his people. Here's what we know about the context of this particular chapter. The land of Judah was full of idolatry and oppression, violence, and political revolution. And much of this idolatry, much of this oppression, was led by the leadership of the people. The northern kingdom had already fallen to captivity to Assyria, and the southern kingdom seemingly didn't learn a thing while watching what happened in the northern kingdom. Here in Jeremiah 23, it begins with a woe. And a woe serves as an oracle. It serves as an oracle of judgment. And this here is the sixth and the final oracle described to the kings of Judah in the book of Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah, the prophet, prophesies from about the reign of King Josiah. King Josiah was actually the last of the faithful kings of Judah at this time. And Jeremiah prophesies from the time of King Josiah to the very fall of Judah when Babylon comes in and overthrows them. Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet, he demonstrated his great love for God's people as he was convinced that Judah would experience judgment for their rebellion against God, that they in fact would experience judgment because of their wickedness and their refusal to repent. Jeremiah weeps for the people of God. Chapter 23 opens with this contrast being made between good shepherds and evil shepherds. Evil shepherds are those who are destroying and scattering God's people, and good shepherds are those who are in fact tending and caring for the flock. In scripture, shepherds are not only those who tend sheep and tend the flock, but shepherds are often identified as those who are leading the people. In this case, political leaders, kings, are being identified as shepherds. Judah had become unjust, unethical, unfair, unkind, It had become a terrible place, if you're in the margins, for people to live. It's in the context of hard things and difficult moments. It's in the context of brokenness and pain that we see God intervene and reveal himself in a new way. So there's three things I want to uplift from this text today. The first is the failure of leaders to shepherd God's people with care positions us for God's intervention. The failure of the leaders to care for God's people position us for God's intervention. See, one of the things that gives me hope in the midst of the times that we're going through right now, we can walk around with our heads hanging down, but when God's people are not being cared for, when our hearts are overwhelmed by the way that we see the church going and the people of God not following God's way, is that it's an opportune time for God to intervene. It's an opportune time for us to see God at his best. I went somewhere this week and someone began talking to me about, I was talking about how beautiful the weather was and it's changing and winter is coming. And they went into discussing how worst the world is going to be, like the coming pending doom of what we're experiencing in our country. And I thought about that, and you know, we can walk around with that type of perspective, or we can see it as an opportunity for God to intervene. We can see it as an opportunity for God to do something great in our midst. The text opens with woe. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord." Look at this. There's this play on words. He says, because of your lack of bestowing care on the people of God, I will in fact bestow punishment on you. The shepherds are charged with destroying and scattering the sheep. Because the people, the leaders, the shepherds were responsible, and it was expected that they would in fact care for the people of God. They had been entrusted to their care, and instead they were destroying them. I believe this is a warning for us today. Terrible leaders will be called into account by God himself. There are political leaders who are leading people astray. There are spiritual leaders who are leading people astray. There are individuals who have decided that they're going to propagate and advance their own agenda, and they're not taking care of God's people. And as we look around and as we see and experience this, we have to know this. I don't know about you. It grieves my heart. It grieves my heart to see the church not being the church. It grieves my heart to see the church not leading in the pandemic. It grieves my heart to see the church allowing the chaos of our culture to define our ethic and for fear to rule in our hearts. We've allowed our own nationalism and our own individualism. We have allowed those things to supersede the kingdom ethic of the love for the other. And especially a focus and emphasis, concern on those who are in the margins. I'm saddened by how we have allowed our Christianity to be morphed into something else, that the values of the empire have superseded the values of the kingdom. Well, there's a warning that when leaders aren't caring for God's people, that they are accountable to God. God says that because you fail to care for my people, I will bestow punishment upon you. Now, here's the unfortunate part, that even the remnant of God, even the faithful of God, even those who are following the kingdom principles will experience the consequences of that behavior. But you can be assured that God has not abandoned you. In fact, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd, and that because he is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. That brokenness, that failure, that chaos in the land, that poor leadership and the lack of care simply positions us for God's intervention. Look at what verse 3 says. God says, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. See, I think this is really interesting, and it's very important for us to understand. In verse 1, God begins by declaring a woe and a judgment against leaders who have caused his people to scatter and to be destroyed. And then in verse 3, here is where we see the sovereignty of God. Because look at what God says. He says, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture. See, here's the thing that you need to understand, that even when it seems like evil is winning around us, God is still in control. That God here is showing that even though the leaders are doing the things that they're doing and God is opposed to it, that God says, I have driven them out to the various places. I have used them and I am still in control even when man rebels against me. I hope that encourages your heart, people of God. That even when chaos is all around us and hell is pressing in on our lives, God is ultimately in control. The failure of leaders to shepherd God's people with care positions us for God's intervention. God says, not only am I in control, but he says, ultimately, I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing. These bad shepherds provided an opportunity for God to intervene in the lives of God's people. And then ultimately, he speaks to a coming shepherd. He speaks to the fact that not only is God willing to provide them with other rulers, but ultimately God is going to raise up a branch God is going to raise up a righteous branch. The word branch is a messianic title that refers to Jesus Christ and his connection to the Davidic throne. Another promise of God being fulfilled. That God says to David, he says that there will be a line that comes for you that will reign forever. And here Jeremiah is speaking to that branch, the one that comes from the Davidic line, God keeping his promise. Like Judah, we need to know that although times may be bad and difficult, that a time is coming when God will provide a righteous king. Look at what the text says in verse 5. It says, the days are coming. Say that with me. The days are coming. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. A day is coming. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Now, there are leaders who have failed to shepherd God's people, and it provided an opportunity for God to, in fact, intervene in the lives of his people. But you and I, as followers of Jesus, no matter how much hell comes against us, we look forward to the Shepherd King. The Shepherd King who will ride, who will rule wisely with justice and righteousness, as the scripture says. We look to the Shepherd King who rules wisely with justice and righteousness for our hope. Our hope is not in political leaders. Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not in our bosses. Our hope is not in our jobs. Our hope is not in our income. Our hope is not in our 401k. Our hope is not in our retirement plans. Our hope is in the Shepherd King. And our hope is in the Shepherd King because that Shepherd King is the one who will rule wisely, rightly, and justly. He makes all things right. This Shepherd King, notice what God is doing. God says, not only will I send you good shepherds and good leaders, but he says, ultimately, I'll send you the very best. I will come down myself and become your leader. I will be the chief shepherd. I will be the Shepherd King who leads you rightly and justly. Jehovah Sitkanu is the name that expressed the righteous character of God. And justice is an English word that also speaks to this idea. It expresses the same thing. So when you see this name of God, Sitkanu, it is justice. It is righteousness. It is the just one. It is the righteous one. And many scholars, as they look at this text, as they think about how God is revealed in this text, many scholars believe that Jeremiah is doing a word play here, because Jeremiah is identifying Zedekiah, who was the king at that time. King Zedekiah, whose name means the Lord is my righteousness. And yet Zedekiah was a wicked king. Zedekiah was an idolatrous king. Zedekiah was a king who didn't deal and rule righteously. Zedekiah was a puppet king. He was, in fact, a king. The king of Judah had been dethroned, and Zedekiah had been placed there by Nebuchadnezzar himself. So he was, in fact, a puppet king. whose name was supposed to mean my righteousness, and yet he did everything else but live up to his character. But Jeremiah is playing on this idea that God is the true king. God is the righteous one who will come down as our shepherd king who does all things right. God does all things right. Jesus Christ right now is making all things new. He is in the process of making right the stuff that we messed up. He is making all things right because he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Think about it. He's at work right now setting right what we destroyed. This name of God. This name of God is not just about his righteousness, but he is our righteousness. His righteousness extends to you and I. It's not just about his own ability to do what is right, but it's how he places his righteousness inside of you and I. Now think about it. His righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we have been given a new nature. When you follow Jesus Christ, you've been given a new nature. That new nature is a nature of righteousness. It cannot sin. That new nature is placed inside of your soul, which is made up of your mind, will, and your emotions. The new spirit is placed into that soul, which is messed up. And every day, if we're not feeding that new spirit, the soul will manifest itself in the flesh in ways that are inconsistent with the spirit that now lives inside of you. But when you declare that God's standard is right, and you decide each day to lean into God's standard, and wanting to know what is God's opinion, God's perspective, how does God see this in life? When you begin to lean into that, the Holy Spirit alivens your spirit that's inside of you and energizes you, and ultimately that seed of righteousness grows in you and manifests on the outside of you. This is God's purpose in growing you in your righteousness. Yahweh Tsidkenu, Jehovah Tsidkenu, as declared in the scripture, he is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Isaiah 53:11 says that he's the righteous servant. Malachi 4:2 calls him the son, S-U-N, of righteousness. And Zechariah 9:9 says that this is the messianic king who will rule both justly and rightly. You waiting for justice? The days are coming. The days are coming. And we can find our hope in the Shepherd King. And when things feel unjust in your life, your hope is in the Shepherd King who will reign with wisdom, justice, and righteousness. I love how the next couple of verses go. It says, so then the days are coming. There it is again. The days are coming. The days are coming. The days are coming. People of God, we can hope because the days are coming. Here he wants to direct the people and help them to see that here is a time of celebration. Here is a time for you and I to celebrate, that the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. What is he saying here? Well, the idea that I want to lift in your hearing today is that we celebrate God's greater work of deliverance and restoration. We celebrate God's greater work of deliverance and restoration in our lives. This is what he's saying. He's saying that the people would always talk about how the Lord brought them out of Exodus. That was a significant moment. That was a meaningful moment in the history of Israel. Oftentimes you see in the scripture what God says to his people, remember the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget, treat people the way you ought to treat them because you were brought out of Egypt. He reminds them of their deliverance. He reminds them of this great event of the Exodus. But he says, if people declare how great the Exodus was, how much greater will they declare and say how God brought people who were dispersed all over the world, how God brought them back together after Babylonian captivity, that God brought them back into a land, that God brought them there, and there was prosperity in the land. He says, that will be the new song. But brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus, looking back to history, having seen the great redemptive work of the Exodus, having seen the great redemptive work of God bringing his people and gathering them together and bringing them back from Babylonian captivity into the land, having witnessed God allow a people who at 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed and the people and the place were dispersed all throughout the world, how God in 1948 brought those people back together to be a nation who didn't lose their language, who didn't lose their culture, who didn't lose their identity. Only God can take what's been dispersed and destroyed and bring it back together and make it a people again. God can do that very thing in your life. He can take the broken pieces of your life. He can take the scattered pieces of your reality and bring those things back into being and make them something new. There is a new day. There is a new order. There is something even greater than the deliverance and the Exodus, in the deliverance of Babylonian captivity. It's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Good God Almighty, it was there on the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And good God Almighty, I want to celebrate today because Jesus did something that no other man could do in this world. He took my sin in exchange for his righteousness. So he took my sin, all of your sin, all of the sins of the world, and he's willing to offer it to anybody in exchange for his righteousness. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It means God set up on Calvary's cross, the day that Jesus died, God opened up an account in your name. And when you said that Jesus is Savior, God put something in your bank account. God put righteousness in your bank account. So now every time you go to make a withdrawal from heaven's bank, it's full, perfect credit, perfect number, perfect status. Every time you need to draw down some righteousness, The count is refilled and refueled every single time. God wants you to bring righteousness into the land. You call on God, you make your withdrawal, and God fills the account up all over again. That's what it means to have the righteousness of Christ on your account, and the sin of the world was laid on Jesus. See, you're supposed to be the Sadakim. Sadakim, that word comes from Sadiq. That's the same word, that's the root word that's being used here when we talk about Yahweh Sitkanu. It's the same word that you are in fact to be the righteous ones, the just ones, and God expects that you would demonstrate what the kingdom would look like now on earth as it is in heaven. That you would in fact draw down day by day the righteousness of God. And that, brothers and sisters, that deliverance from brokenness, that deliverance from sin, that deliverance from the grip of Satan, that deliverance from being a servant and a slave to sin is the deliverance that all the people will celebrate. That's our new song. Our new song is a celebration of the deliverance of God, how he brought us through, how he changed our lives, how he gave us a new destination, how he gave us a new ethic. Now we can live as the just ones, those who are willing to disadvantage themselves for the advantage of somebody else, like our chief shepherd, the chief shepherd who was willing to lay down his life for our sins. That's the kind of shepherd that I want to follow. That's the kind of leader that I'm willing to give my life to, the one who's willing to lay down his life so that others can have life, so that others can have power, so that others can have strength, not for his own power, not for his own strength, not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of somebody else. See, that's why we can be the Sadakim. That's why we can walk in righteousness. Righteousness, it ain't about us just being right with God, but it's about being right with other people. And if I'm not allowing this righteousness to invade my space where I begin to look at sexual ethic from God's perspective, money from God's perspective, marriage from God's perspective, if I don't begin to look at life, then I'm not feeding my spirit. Jesus is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. So he promises to give you everything that you need. But you and I are called to celebrate the redemptive work of God, the deliverance of God, the restoration, how God is restoring all things, even in our lives. Now, here's what people do all the time. Here's what people do all the time. They come here on Sunday and celebrate the righteousness that they've received from Christ. And they go back into the world every day and feed on the junk of the world. And God is saying, here is my viewpoint. Here is my viewpoint. Here is how I see things. And I want to encourage you to eat on this, to feed on this. Feed on his standard. Because he does all things right. And because he does all, now we've messed up a lot of saying what God's standard is. So we've got to give people a correct view of who God is. Make sure we know what the book says. And I don't know why, but somebody needs to hear this. The COVID vaccine is not the mark of the beast. How do I know? Look at what the book says. It tells us that the mark of the beast is not something that's mandated. The mark of the beast is something that people are willingly placing on their foreheads and on their forearms. They're willingly doing it on their forehead and on their arms. And they willingly know that doing it is not getting a vaccine. They know that it means that you are worshiping the beast. Hello? The Lord, our righteousness, he does all things right. And he even tells us about circumstances and situations on how he calls for us to live. So looking forward to, I'm done. I'm so looking forward to our study on the book of Leviticus. That's coming up next. So looking forward to it. You know the book that when you get to it, you fall asleep like, oh my gosh, one more holiness standard. Oh, that hasn't happened. Has that ever happened to you? Like, it's like you try to get through the word of God and you come to the book of Leviticus and you're like, ugh. I'm so looking forward to it because there is a kingdom ethic found in Leviticus that speaks to what it means to be holy, set apart, distinct, living rightly before God and other people, and how we interface with God and how we interface with one another. Man, it smacks against American culture. Can't wait. So pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we're so grateful for the privilege of being able to study your word and for the privilege of knowing you as our righteousness. And God, I get discouraged just like everybody else. And my heart at times get overwhelmed by the things of this world. And I just pray, Lord, that you remind us that you are our hope, and that in the coming days, you will come down and you will reign as our shepherd king. That's where our hope is, God. Help us to hold on. Help us to be reminded that you are our shepherd. And because you are our shepherd, we shall not be in want. Your word says that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, thank you for restoration. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Let all the people of God say amen. Remember to worship God in your giving as you leave today. May his grace, his peace, and his amazing Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in your life now and forever. As you leave this place, be the tzadikim. Be the righteous ones, the just ones. Not holier than thou, because that means you don't have it right. Be the just one, the righteous one. And may the Lord our righteousness walk with you daily. Amen. Grace and peace.